There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live talks careers.
And we have Stuart Walker, who is a partner at 3D and Angel, back with us. Stuart, good to see you.
Good afternoon.
And it's the return of Toby Simpson from the Golf Recruitment Group. Nice to see you.
The return of.
Yeah,
it's great to be here.
It's like the sequel to Toby Simpson in theatres now. Stuart, I wanted to start with you today, if that's all right. We are going to start with the new law on equal pay. There's a lot to talk about here. Let's just look at what was legislated for previously and compare and contrast in simple terms.
Well, I think the previous law was pretty straightforward. It just said a woman shall be paid the same as a man if she's doing the same job, and I think that gets you as far as you need to go.
Yeah.
I have a wife and a daughter and a mother and a sister. I'm fully keen on gender equality, but I don't think you really need to say more than pay them the same as men are getting. It's quite easy to pass new laws on issues, but doing the easy thing to resolve these situations is not necessarily the best thing. I don't think it's as easy as just passing another law.
Okay, well, let me put this question to you. We had a text in, and I suppose you can comment on this. And Toby, you can comment on this as well. I just found out that a former male colleague of mine is joining the company I work for currently, and he is getting more money than I am. This has been discovered, even though I'm in a higher position in the company. The question is, how do you address this with your boss? You're in a situation where obviously it is upsetting, and you need to be careful how you approach these things with employers. Toby, the person that signs this is Working Woman. What do you say?
It's really difficult. I don't know the exact case of this sort of situation, but I can pretty much tell you that at least 70% of people out there, I'm pulling a wild figure out of nowhere, are unhappy and don't think they're paid the right amount at work. Mm. Just everybody has a gripe. Now, you know, even you know, I've had teams in the past, and not everyone's always been delighted with what we've paid them, but we had a very transparent payment mechanism, you know, based on the length of tenure, based on their productivity over that period. But still, people are unhappy, even when you have something like that where inequality can't exist. Now, in this case, the individual, the gentleman, might be doing a totally different role in a different department, albeit at a lower level than this individual. And let's say that the HR team gets paid more than the procurement team. These things can happen within a company. Now, I'm not saying that these inequalities don't exist and things do go wrong. Now, of course they do. Of course there are situations in companies all around Dubai when things aren't 100% equitable. But what you find, and I believe, is the market regulates itself. Markets are efficient by their very nature. If you alienate half of your workforce, they're going to go somewhere else. And businesses that make critical mistakes like that don't stay in business very long.
We will go to a quick break, I think. NLT is itching. I was going to say chomping at the bit, but that paints a rather undesirable picture.
I'm not a horse.
You're not.
But
there is a lot to say here.
Yeah, I think there is, and I think it is always worth talking about because it's a very, very difficult conversation to have. And nobody wants to be the person talking about money and talking about their salary. And I think some people find it very difficult to say, I think I'm doing a good job, therefore can my pay reflect this? Because you have nothing to compare it to most of the time, and that's what Toby's talking about. If you have a company that's transparent, fantastic. But in lots of places, it might not be as transparent. So how do you know whether to have the conversation in the first place?
Drive Live talks careers.
They are Stuart Walker from 3D and Angel, Toby Simpson from the Golf Recruitment Group. So questions in on 4001 or via the free app or 423 1010. Contentious topics, some might say, this afternoon, I think. The NLT, I know you have personal experience of this.
Yeah.
Have a story to share.
Yeah, well, we're talking about a new law banning employers from asking applicants what their previous salary was. And I know Toby has sort of lists of pros and cons why he thinks some of this can be good. But I'm talking about personal experience. I was appointed in a company previously many moons ago. And I was appointed a year after a male colleague. And I was very friendly with this male colleague and salaries were discussed. And it turned out that he was earning a lot more than I was, in the region of 50,000 dirham more. So a lot of money, a real huge amount. I had more experience. I had been doing a similar job for longer in a different part of the company. And he had come outside of the company and was offered much higher than I was. And it was only through having this discussion I found out this information and I was able to then say, look, you know, if they would have turned around and said, actually, he's more experienced than you are, that's fair enough. Or he's been here much longer than you have, and that's the way we work it here every year. There's a pay rise. But the bottom line was I had more experience than he did and subsequently was promoted faster than he was and did better. Mm. But when we started, we were offered very different salaries. And I do think it was gender related. And we were both asked what our salary was where we'd worked previously. So I think a lot of the time, unfortunately, women are punished for having lower salaries, which then continue. So this, if you are on a lower salary as a woman and your male colleague is paid more than you, if each time you go for a new job, you talk about your previous salary and it was lower, that will just perpetuate you being on a lower pay scale than a man.
Okay, so this is a law in the United States. This is not a law in the UAE, but we can talk about what the implications might be if such a law was introduced here. There are all sorts of things to ponder here. First one, Toby, is we talked about this a few times with you, haven't you? Just how transparent companies should be, employees should be when they go to join a company in that lead-up interview when you get that question. So what do you want? What do you think?
Yeah, I think the aims are great, that we shouldn't be judged. Our skills and our worth shouldn't be judged based on what we're paid before. That's totally laudable as a goal. But, you know, largely in these things, the obvious route to the solution isn't always the best one. You know, what you get here is you reach a point where if employers aren't able to ask about the salary, they start asking about expectations. Now, I've been a headhunter for a very long time, and initially when someone's fresh on the job market and they come into your office and you ask them what their expectations are, if any of you have ever met someone that's just finished an MBA, you will get wildly, wildly different answers. And you get some people that will say something, you know, that's way too low. That's, you know, they should be looking at more given what their market, you know, given what their market value is, you know, on an efficient market. But, you know, candidates aren't experts. New people who've worked for a company for the last 6 years and are new on the job market aren't actually the right people to say what their expectations to an employer are. So as an employer, you get a little bit tired of this and you start saying, okay, well, what can we do? So you put things like, okay, well, this role will pay exactly this money. Now, that's kind of great because it's a level playing field for everybody. But actually, it leads to inflexibility within the employer. At the moment, employers tend to go, well, look, we'll pay the right person the right amount of money based on this level of experience. But what you'll find is they'll now say, okay, this person is going to get paid 18,000 dirhams, and to have that, they must have this, this, and this. Now, in the past, somebody who didn't necessarily have all of that, but, you know, was high potential and that sort of side of things, employers tend to be more flexible. So when you take away transparency out of a process, I think people become more rigid and the whole process becomes more difficult, more emotionally constraining, and actually nobody wins.
So is it a question you should ask in a job interview? What did you get before? Should it just be a natural part of an interview, or and how should you respond to that if you are asked in an interview?
Well, normally, you know, as a headhunter, we'd submit those details, but we talk with the candidates first and say, well, you know, what's your, you know, this is what you're on, but what's your level of expectation? There's no reason why you can't have a level of expectation. You know, NLT said there that she was feeling dramatically underpaid in her last role. And there are peer groups to prove, you know, there are the people doing exactly the same role being paid more. There's nothing wrong with saying, I actually expect this level of salary. I wouldn't move for less than that. Even if it's a 50% pay rise, you're being upfront and honest, but justifying the questions why. So much time is wasted because people will, from an employer's perspective, if you put out a salary range, a whole bunch of people will come to you, even if they're not at all interested in that salary, because they think they might be sweet and charming and the employer might change their mind about the salary budget, or because it's a backup plan. But the more transparent everybody is, the more everybody gets out of the process and the smoother it flows.
Mm. I also feel, though, that some people, unfortunately, want a bargain. So they might think, OK, we've set aside X amount of cash for this role, and if the right person comes along, we'll spend all of it. But if we're getting this person that's come along and they were paid hardly anything, we'll offer them a tiny bit more than they were being paid, and that's enough to sweeten the deal to make them come along. So I think, as much as you want to think people have great intentions and they're happy to pay the salary that they think a certain level of experience deserves, there comes a point also when maybe if you owned a company and you're thinking, well, I could pay this person double, but I think they would be happy on only a little bit more. Why not do that? What would be the incentive not to do that as an employer?
Well, if you're a candidate, you're in no way obliged to accept that offer. But let's be honest, whether it's a case of companies are judging us based on our level of expectation or what we were previously paid, companies are still going to look for an efficiency in cost. They're not going to pay more than they think they have to pay. So in that situation, rather than just paying the individual that had a lower last salary and they think they can negotiate to a certain point, they're just going to pay the person who's got the lower salary expectations, irrespective of that background. You know, people are bright enough to say, you know, I want to earn this sort of money. I think that's absolutely justified. And they're in perfect right to say, no, I won't accept this offer if it's not what I'm looking for.
I think it's worth pointing out as well that there are some industries where the candidate wants to demonstrate what their previous salary or previous commission earnings were, particularly in financial services. You'll get a situation where the guy or the individual will say, last year I earned X. If I move across the street to join your firm, you need to guarantee that I will earn at least that for the first year, 2 years, whatever it is. And here's a statement on the commissions I made last year to back that up.
Let me give you a scenario. You can both comment on this, I think. I was applying for a job before. The manager asked what I was making previously. I told him he didn't believe me. He said he would then get in touch with my previous company to ask for a copy of my payslip. I was so offended that I left right away. Also, if he had contacted my company, I could have been in a lot of trouble. Obviously, this is a person looking to move, I guess. But is this something that potential employers do? And is there a way I could have dealt with it more sensibly? That's an anonymous text in here. But, you know, do you have any right as a potential employer to essentially threaten people and say, well, I don't believe you, I'm going to go to your old company and get your payslip? Could you even do that? I mean, that seems ethically questionable.
You could do it. I mean, it's poor behaviour. The way to solve that problem is for the candidate to say, here's a copy of my bank statement. I've blanked out my shopping, my grocery bills, but you can see the money coming in every month. That's my pay.
It's difficult for some people, though, to discuss money, isn't it? How do you get over that? Because, you know, when people say to me, I have a policy, I don't have many policies, actually, or many codes of conduct, to be honest with you, but if people ever talk about money, I just don't talk about money. You can ask me, what do you make? I just don't tell people. Because, if I'm earning more or earning less, depending on what that is, it affects relationships. So I just don't talk about money, and it's just a policy that I live by. I'm not particularly interested in what you earn. If you earn more than me, for you.
But if we lived in one of the Scandinavian countries, we could go down to the local library and look up each other's monthly income.
Well, you could, yeah, in the same way as we kind of snoop on people on Facebook, I suppose. But I mean, but it is a hard conversation to have, isn't it, Toby? It's difficult for a lot of people.
It's so difficult. It's the most stressful part of any job process. You know, a candidate and employer will get on like an absolute house on fire. They'll absolutely love each other, and then all of a sudden someone puts money there. When you have a natural conflict of interest, the employer wants to keep down their costs as much as possible. You know, the candidate wants to earn £1 million a year. That's just the standard process we have. So there's a natural conflict of interest. And most importantly, money to people is not about how many cans of cola they can buy and the car they can get and that sort of side of things. It's literally a statement of our worth. People take it as an emotional basis of what I'm worth, what my worth is to society. And therefore, when you start to challenge people's assumptions or what they're looking for, it can feel like a direct attack. And this is another reason why, you know, when you submit sort of an application, you have a sort of a salary guideline on there. The negotiation, if it's got to the end of the negotiation, people tend to be a bit more friendly to each other and less kind of cold. And also employers are much more willing to, let's say, negotiate around the fringes when they're comfortable with that individual, when there's a level of trust that's been established, and we can have much more productive conversations. If in this situation you have to have that conversation from the off, it's just going to lead to more problems.
This is Drive Live. Get in touch with the show.
Text us on 4001.
You can also text via the app, or you can call on 423-1010 if you'd like to. It's 10 to 5, just gone. Two guests on Drive Live Talks Careers today. Stuart Walker from Afridi & Angel, Toby Simpson from the Gulf Recruitment Group. So we were talking about, in the United States, there is a new law that bans employers from asking applicants what their previous salary was, the pros and the cons of that. And Ahmed texted in a few minutes ago. In my last last company, there were just two guys, and we were both the least paid. I don't know how many ladies are in the company. What does that mean? Appen makes, I think it's a good point. Salary is a lot more dependent upon negotiation skill. Perhaps the women, the ladies in that company, were just much better at demanding more, or asking for more, to be fair, Toby. Do you think that's a reasonable statement?
I'm not sure it is, actually. Look, the exceptions never prove the rule, and I'm sure this story happens a lot. You know, I struggle to see that often it's based on gender. Now, you know, we all have the stories. You know, I was a director in a firm, and I was one of the sort of the lowest paid directors, even though my division was one of the most profitable divisions. These things happen. It's down to whatever pay scale or pay grade, or probably in my case, my level of negotiation skills. So, however, if I was to pick a gender that's better at negotiating, NLT is staring daggers at me right now.
I know, I'm waiting for the comeback.
It's going to be the guys. The simple reason is, I'm afraid to say, because of gender identities, from a very early age, guys are, we kind of still have it. It's changing that we're the only people, but it's kind of drummed into us that we are breadwinners. We should be the breadwinners. We should provide. Therefore, money becomes more important. It's fair to say that guys are far more willing to do a job they don't enjoy just for the money than ladies are, that tend to value a much more about the environment, the quality of the work itself. So, yeah, because I think guys probably do care a bit more about the money. This is certainly what was in the research I was reading earlier. It might make us more determined in salary negotiations than perhaps our female counterparts.
I also think women traditionally would be punished for negotiating and being tough negotiators because it's seen as a trait that's not, you know, particularly suited to women.
It's not
a male
seen as
trait.
A favourable light, is it?
Of course. And then if you are seen as someone that is going in hard for this and you want the money, it seems it can come across that you're being greedy. It can come across that you care more about the money than the job. And as Toby said, they expect women to behave a certain way and men to behave a different way. And in doing that, it's okay for a man to negotiate his salary. But when a woman starts to do it, there is often a perception that she's difficult, argumentative, uncompromising, and you wonder, do you want someone like that on your team?
Well, there are arguments that maybe you do need people like that. Let me give you a real world example. I bought a suit. I've not owned many suits. I bought a suit it was probably the early 90s. My wife at that point was my partner, but not my wife, and I had to get the suit adjusted. It was quite an expensive suit, and they got the price wrong by about probably 1,000 dirhams difference. And so it was adjusted. I went back. I was buying the suit, and they said, well, it'll be 2,500 dirhams, not 1,500, whatever it was. And so I went, well, no, you quoted this price. Oh, we've adjusted it and we got it wrong and now you have to pay this. And I thought, so I argued and we went backwards and forwards irrationally for a while. And it got to a point where I thought, I'm not going to win this negotiation. So what did I do? I called Mrs. Elliot. She came down and, oh, yeah, that got sorted quickly.
But that's different.
It is different, but it goes to the point that she can negotiate far better than I can. I think they were just frightened of it. But I'm not trying to be jocular or humorous about this, but I'm not absolutely sure that I agree with you, Toby. That's kind of my point. I'm kind of along your lines, NLT, because I have a feeling that you would probably be a better negotiator than I would be. I think I'm a little bit too laid back.
Yeah, you know. But also that would potentially be rewarded. The fact, you know, some of what Toby's saying, the fact that you're laid back about it would mean, okay, well, this man clearly is confident in his ability and what he's maybe entitled to. So it's perception of behaviour as well, though. So maybe if you're relaxed and you're like, oh, salary doesn't matter, it's like, oh, we better pay him a lot because, you know, he's saying he's not bothered. That means he's got a million other offers from all the other places on the table. So we need to be careful. So I think attitude, perception, and previous experience goes into this quite a lot.
So my tactic has worked, in other words. Let's talk to Abdullah, who is on the phone. Abdullah, what was it you wanted to say? You had a gripe about human resources or human capital, whatever it's called these days?
I have a very quick question.
Okay.
I've seen that the HR is not participating in any strategy of the organization. The HR is playing the role of administration within any of the organizations, like processing of the visas, accommodations, and all that. They are not participating in the recruitment, they are not participating in the compensation, and they are not participating in the development of the employees.
Is that as a general rule, do you think, Abdullah, or is that in your company?
It's my research. I have written a paper on this as well.
Okay.
So I've collected the data from many people, and it's part of my research. Now, these all roles are taken by the line manager. And unfortunately, the line managers are purely technical people. They don't know the soft values. So we are talking of a cultural fit. We are talking of the value fit within the organization. So this is not happening. And the line manager cannot know this. So my point is that I want the HR, and my question is that how the HR can participate strategically within the development, within the business strategy of the organization. Okay. That's my question.
Okay, so let's ask Toby Simpson.
Yeah, it's a great point, Abdullah. I actually think that 10 years ago, when I first came, or 11 years ago, when I first came to the UAE, it was certainly the case that many HR departments were certainly seen just as administrative functions, exactly as you say, dealing with visas. However, the growth in professionalism of HR departments in the UAE for the last decade I've been here has been absolutely staggering. And just as a point of indicator, I'm a headhunter and I tend to deal with a lot of the senior level roles. And normally my meeting would either be with the chairman and the CFO or the CEO, the CFO, if we're talking about another C-level position. And very rarely would an HR representative be there. Much more often now, an HR representative is leading and chairing that that negotiation, which is a positive thing. And the role has become more than just administration. And you know, and people are really looking into performance management, into driving training. So there's a lot of fantastic people out there doing a great job. I'm not to say it's totally universal across every organization, but we're certainly getting better.
What do you think, Abdullah? Reasonable?
Yes. I'll feel very happy if it happens across the board.
Okay, well, look, it's good of you to join us today. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much. Right,
that's Abdullah. Now, Kartik's texting in. We don't have time to get to the question, but maybe we can look at this next week. It's an interesting point, so we won't forget you, Kartik. How does going through a recruitment agency work in terms of securing a job? I'm back in the job market after a while, wondering if it's beneficial to go through an agency. Is there an interview with the agency and another one at the employer? How does the process work? We can't do that here, but I think all of the above applies. But Toby Simpson, have you got a one-line answer to that or a two-line answer to that? Or is that just too tough?
I look forward to a longer-winded one. Basically, the agency nowadays were more likely to approach you, but there's no harm in approaching them.
All right, so we'll get to that next week for you, Kartik, in a little bit more detail. That's it on Drive Live Talks Careers Today. Toby Simpson, you just heard there from the Gulf Recruitment Group. Always good to see you, Toby. Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
The return of Toby Simpson, and also the return today of Stuart Walker from A Freudian Angel. Nice to see you, Stuart. Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.